All right, welcome back to Shakedown Chan. Hope you guys had a great week. It's a long weekend for some people this weekend. I know Noah's off of school on Monday, so that's fun over the holiday that doesn't make any sense to be holiday, but
Why? It's my national holiday, Columbus Day.
that's your favorite holiday?
Yeah, one of them. Sure. He was Italian, you know. And the Indians weren't indigenous to the America. I mean, they're a cross between Eskimos and Maya Indians from South America. So they took over from the birds, the bees, and the deer. So it's, whoever's here, you know.
Whoever's here. Yes. Just gonna celebrate the, I mean, conquering of any land always involves violence, I guess, but
Yeah. One of the things while we're on Columbus Day and we talk about the Indians, we got to remember that they were conquering each other
yeah,
for the
for
land and that.
tribal
So,
land,
I mean,
yeah.
they, you know, I understand their
I just think it's weird to
it is.
celebrate
It is.
that.
I mean, it's too bad that, see, if that happened today, they wouldn't be on reservations, you know? I mean, I think they were a way of appeasing Indians and giving them their own property where they could do everything they want, no taxation or whatever.
Oh, now we have to be PC. We have to call them Native
That's right,
Americans.
Native Americans.
Mm
Yeah. Just like Afro-Americans, you don't have to be born in Africa. Or African Americans. Afro is what they wear. African Americans, but they may not be African. I mean, they may be from
Right.
Haiti, or
Yeah.
they, you know what I mean? It's terrible when you get PC. You got to get a bunch of people together that then you lose their identity, you
Yeah.
know?
So we got a lot of good things to talk about here. Well, I mean, not all of it's good, but we got a lot of good
Interesting.
topics to talk about. I want to Noah wanted me to tell you guys that he has soccer today, by the way. He tied. They tied. They're still I c don't consider that a loss. I consider that a win for both teams,
Yeah.
but so they're still undefeated. I think we got one more soccer game to go. And yeah, that's Noah's little bit. And let's get into the first topic here. So I have this article. It's been floating around Facebook recently. Where is it from? Oh, Free Thought Project actually put this article together. If I remember correctly, the Free Thought Project is in control of the Free State Movement. I could be completely wrong with New Hampshire.
Okay.
That don't quote me on it, but I think that was what I knew about it. But anyway, it's an article about a student, a high school freshman who got suspended for 5 days over a taxation as theft hat and an end the drug war flyer. Which pretty cool that these ideas are getting into some teenagers. Anyway, so let's get into this. Where does it start? Let me try to find a good place to start here. All right. Standard education in America typically focuses on creating a supply of worker bees who follow orders from authority and operate within the confines that the system has set out, but lack critical thinking skills. The results of such a school system, which suppresses and discourages creativity and imagination, has had a detrimental effect on children and their ability to question the status quo. But what happens when one of those children shatters the paradigm and can see outside the walls? Well, for one high school freshman in Florida, it was in Florida, it got him suspended for 5 days. In the land of the free.
Yes.
The student, whose mother asked us not to name him, was suspended last week and will remain suspended through the end of the week. His violation? He wore a hat that read taxation is theft across the front and handed out flyers for a libertarian presidential candidate who advocates ending the drug war. Neither of these statements are threatening, obscure, or otherwise illegal. Yet on Friday, the student who we will refer to E was approached by school staff members for wearing this hat. E tells us that he was wearing his hat at a time and place in which students were allowed to wear hats, but possibly due to the words on the hat, he was targeted. The administration claimed that I can't wear hats outside when it actually says in the Florida Constitution that students, in fact, wear hats or other, can in fact wear hats or other headgear outside. E told the Free Thought Project, I'm terrible at reading things to you guys. I don't know why I try. It's one thing to read in your head, it's another to read to somebody. But this is just the beginning. When E began to hand out flyers for 2020 presidential candidate Dan Bierman, who advocate, I could be butchering that name as well, who advocates for ending the drug war and that taxation is theft, all hell broke loose. He quickly found himself surrounded by school staff who he says attempted to detain him for handing out flyers. I tried to leave the cafeteria when I was told I wasn't being detained, and I only stayed because I was followed, harassed, and coerced into doing so. Sounds like they could have a lawsuit. A deputy would then get involved and told the high school administrators that E was filming them. They got the deputy involved the first time because I started recording, E said. The deputy was nearby when they confronted me for handing out the flyers. And then the deputy walked up to us and was like, I'd like to let you know that he might be recording you without your knowledge. I was suspended out of school for 5 days for the flyers and refusing to turn them in and being skeptical of their claims of what the rules are, said E. They lied to me about the hat rule, so I was thinking they might be lying again. They didn't allow the opportunity for me to look up the rule because they knew that they could have possibly been wrong. E gave us a copy of his suspension letter, which states he was suspended for disobedience and insubordination. He is not allowed to return to school until Monday. Joke's on you, Monday's a holiday.
Yeah, really.
Actually, I don't know when this came out. It probably came out like 2 weeks ago. When did this come out? October 8th. The Free Thought Project contacted the school district on Monday to inquire about E's suspension, but as the publishing of this article, we have not received a response. When expressing peaceful opinions on taxation and the war on drugs gets you kicked out of school for 5 days for insubordination, it may be time to bring the mission of public education into question. The public school system has become little more than an indoctrination center that teaches kids what to think instead of how to think, and E's suspension highlights this perfectly. What's more, taxation is theft, so no one should ever be punished for wearing a hat that says this. So they give a quote here from Murray Rothbard. Taxation is theft purely and simply, even though it is theft on a grand and colossal scale, which no acknowledged criminals could hope to match. It is a compulsory seizure of the property of the state's inhabitants or subjects. Murray Rothbard. Yes, Rothbard.
Nothing. Just.
Let's see. If you are confused by the phrase taxation is theft, just think of the government as people without any special privileges. If an average person takes money from someone under the threat of force, it is called robbery. However, if the government does it, then it is considered legal and moral and is called taxation. No one actually ever agreed to this arrangement. It has been forced on millions of people against their will, and a long list of justifications have been created to convince people that they are not being stolen from. And I know this is kind of long, but I think it's a really, it's almost over. I think it's a really, really important article to share that, of course, mainstream media is not going to catch on. So I really wanted to share it with you guys, even though most of my listeners have probably already seen it and read it. Since the government is allowed to extract money from its citizens via the barrel of a gun, this guarantees that they will have funding for any kind of project they want, even if those projects are unpopular with taxpayers, like war and the police surveillance state. This is because the public has no choice but to pay taxes, therefore they have no say in how their money is used and are typically forced into paying for their own oppression and the slaughtering of their neighbors in foreign countries. Sure, there are some social welfare programs that do benefit some people, but the money that those projects cost is but a tiny fraction of the money that is actually received from taxation. Most of the money that is brought in through taxes is used for bureaucratic budgets, collection enforcement, and the gluttony of federal and state governments. So, while a portion of the revenue is being used for beneficial projects, a majority of the money is still being wasted or used for nefarious means. Some researchers have described this as a thief giving you $5 while at the same time taking $100 from your back pocket. There's an unbelievable amount of fear directed at this concept because for so long our civilizations have been propelled by violence instead of rationality. Immediately upon hearing about these ideas of doing away with coercive taxation, many people who are new to the idea will immediately scoff. If taxes were not collected under the threat of force, then no one will pay them and there will be chaos and the poor will die in the streets. Or they may suspend students for wearing hats in school that spell this out. This statement shows that taxation isn't working for the average person. Therefore, ideas about the consent of the governed and the social contract are complete fallacies. If someone explicitly states that people wouldn't pay taxes if they weren't mandatory, then they are admitting that the tax revenue is not used to benefit the public and no one would pay if they didn't have a proverbial and sometimes real gun to their head. When a need arises in a community, people naturally come together and take care of what needs to be done. They don't need someone with a gun in their face telling them how to do it. For our species to have any chance on this earth, we must start thinking about more peaceful ways of going about things and stop justifying the use of violence in all circumstances, even softcore violence like legislation, taxation, and indoctrination via public schools. So that's the end of that. So I thought that was a really nice piece that they put out.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy to understand. They use good analogies to try to get the point across. Because when you say taxation is theft, and that's what people don't like to hear from libertarians because they can't wrap their heads around it.
Right.
And it sounds like kind of absurd to them to think about. But it's if you break it down and the way that they did in that piece, it's really easy to wrap your head around. And it is true. You find a lot of people that say if there weren't taxes, nobody would be paying for things. And so they made a really good point that if that is your argument, then you're saying what we're already being forced to pay for is not important to the people. And I believe that's true. If there's something that a community or a group of people deem important, the people that have the money to work on that are going to put it together. They're going to find a company to do it, like the roads. People are like, well, what about the roads? Well, people are going to come together and find a business that they all want to pay for to keep the roads up. And that's just how that's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, if you want roads to drive on, someone's going to buy that road and pay the upkeep, and people that want to use it will pay for it. And it's probably going to be cheaper than the taxes that you're being forced to pay. And if government doesn't have any of our money, they can't be spending it on useless things like bureaucracy and war. And so it's just a thought a lot of people don't take into consideration.
Right, because the way I feel is if you don't have to pay income tax, you'll be able to spend more money in the economy.
Right.
So they're going to get taxes from either sales tax or whatever, but you'll have
and
more money
not
to
even,
spend.
Yeah, and people are like, well, if you don't have income tax, the sales tax is going to be outrageous. Well, that's not even true because Tennessee has no income tax, state income tax, and I was looking at their average sales tax rate, and it's I think 7.8% across the state is average, and in New York the average is 12.8%, and we have state and federal income tax.
Well, look at just locally here. You know, we pay property taxes, okay? Wilton pays no property taxes, and look how Wilton's growing. I mean, or no, not property, town tax. They don't pay a town tax, so, and they're growing. And Saratoga pays a city tax, and, you know, I mean, we're finding ourselves in a zero budget, and they have a $10 million surplus every year without
taxes. Property tax. People also say that, like, well, if you don't have state income tax, they're going to get you on property tax. I also looked at Tennessee's property tax, and it's a lot lower than New York as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's...
Well, next week I'll bring you in a chart, because I got going on with this fella on Facebook, of the top 20 states that people are leaving and the top 20 states that people are moving to. And the ones they're moving to the most are like Texas, the Midwest.
Texas has actually got some high taxes. They're better than the other
higher ones. But I think the cost of living is a lot cheaper. But, you know, the Midwest, Tennessee, like you said, I know I have relatives that have their mother-in-law and father live in Tennessee, and it's like ridiculous what they pay in taxes. It's hardly anything. And homes are less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the infrastructure is good. Mm-hmm. So it's, and people are, California and New York are the two states.
Yeah, New York is actually the highest tax.
Right.
They're number one.
Well, this
California,
guy,
I think, was number three or four.
This guy said, you know, the reason why people from the Northeast are moving, you know, into other states is because they don't like the winters.
Mm-hmm.
But Alaska is one of the states where people are moving to.
Right.
So if they don't like the winters, what are they moving to Alaska for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because of the taxes that the state. I mean, New York is business unfriendly, is not business friendly. It's high in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
We have the most laws,
not
controls.
Land ownership friendly.
Right.
No.
So.
A lot of my libertarian acquaintances are like, move to New Hampshire,
mm-hmm.
because they have the Free State Project going on over there.
Sure.
And, like, I just would love to, but, like, winter.
Yeah, too long. Well, you and winter. Yeah, you and winter don't get along. So
no, we don't. We need to go somewhere warm.
But, I mean, Florida's another state that doesn't have state income tax. So
I can't deal with the crazy people in Florida.
I know, but why do you think a lot of them moved to Florida?
Sorry if you guys live in Florida.
I mean, it's like Saratoga, these people that have townhouses. They live in Florida for 6 months and a day.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're residents of Florida,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have to pay tax.
And then they come up here
to stay the summer. And they don't have to pay state tax.
No.
It's weird. I mean, but I think that's why a lot of older people, not only is it warm, but... you know, it's because they don't have to pay tax.
Yeah.
And the same way in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Arizona is very good with that, too.
Yeah.
Looking at that. I don't know if I could do desert, though.
Well, you know, but it's not all desert. There's nice spots in Arizona, you know.
Yeah.
You can go skiing in Arizona.
I don't ski.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's desert, but then they have mountains, and they have in between. So, yeah. You can do pretty much anything, you know?
Yeah. So they brought up a good point about the wars and everything. And there's been some news lately, some good news, but I'm going to hold my breath because every time we talk about pulling out of somewhere, we never do. So there's news that Trump is pulling out of Syria, and that would be great. And everyone's saying otherwise.
But they're saying it
everybody
now.
Everybody is saying it's a terrible idea. And I just don't understand. What do you mean it's terrible? We're spending so much money. When are we going to leave? That's something. Trump said something. He goes, when are we going to leave? If we don't leave now, are we going to stay there forever?
Right.
Like, yeah, that's their plan, actually. Like, yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to stay there forever. But no, I completely support and agree with this decision. I think we should pull out of everywhere. I hope that this happens. I doubt that it will, but I hope that it does. But he's saying they need to, over there, figure out what to do with the situation. It's not our place to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what people are saying is going to happen is that ISIS is going to get big again and blah, 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 blah. And I'm sorry, but we wouldn't have ISIS in the first place if we didn't create them. It's like we created a reason, quotes, to be over there, to justify being over there. But otherwise, Lindsey Graham said here, which is weird, it's kind of stupid what he said. He said, Trump is repeating mistakes of an Obama libertarian foreign policy. Last time I checked, Obama was never libertarian.
No.
And he was so pro-war, mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. So it's just a quick little thing here. I want to see what it says. So this is from Reason magazine, actually. It's just a quick little thing. Says, after President Donald Trump announced that he'd withdraw U.S. military personnel from northern Syria in anticipation of a Turkish incursion, Senator Lindsey Graham warned that the White House is emulating the dangerous Obama libertarian foreign policy. Obama's foreign policy was never libertarian, so let's see where this goes. The Obama libertarian foreign policy does not make America safe, Graham tweeted today. No matter what President Trump is saying about this decision, he added, it is exactly what President Obama did in Iraq with even more disastrous consequences for national security. The New York Times reports that the U.S. will be pulling back about 150 military personnel from northern Syria, but not out of the country entirely. The State Department has claimed the number being withdrawn is substantially lower, fewer than 26. Trump's move has been interpreted in many quarters as a decision to abandon America's Kurdish allies to the Turkish government, which considers them terrorists. As Elizabeth Nolan Brown noted this morning, even non-interventionist foreign policy experts have criticized Trump for his move, saying he has blindsided American allies with substantially reducing U.S. involvement in the Syrian conflict. It's not our conflict to be involved in.
No.
That's quite different from Graham's criticism, which treats Trump's relocation of a handful of troops as a full-blown U.S. withdrawal from the region. Yeah, the way they're making it sound is like he's like completely pulling out of here, but he's really just pulling some people out. So it's not even as good as I would like it to be.
Well, there's not that many. I think there's only 50 left there. There weren't that many there to begin with.
Right. So, but I mean, the way the media is making it sound is like we're pulling out thousands 5, 000, of people. They're acting like the world's going to end. They're really just worried about the money they're not going to make. Because, let's see. What else is here? Where was I? Okay. Worse still is the claim that President Barack Obama's foreign policy was libertarian. In fact, Obama upped the number of U.S. troops in Afghanistan from 30,000 to 100,000 in the first years of his administration. He also launched a NATO air war in Libya, despite having no congressional authority to do so. And why are we not trying him for war crimes? Why?
Well, because his name's not Donald Trump.
Right. Well, we're not trying him for war crimes either.
No, we're not. But I mean, they would never do anything to Obama Clinton. I mean, let's face it.
According to the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, he launched 10 times as many drone strikes as his predecessor. A few of those targeted U.S. citizens, which is disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. The Obama administration also provided weapons and logistical support to Saudi Arabia's war effort in Yemen. We are supporting a genocide in Yemen, and nobody's talking about it. Helping to contribute to one of the worst humanitarian crises in the world. And if you guys want to know more about the Yemen thing, I think you should read Scott Horton.
Okay.
He goes on a podcast that I listen to a lot. It's called Part of the Problem by Dave Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He has Scott Horton on a lot, and he lives, eats, and breathes learning about and talking about Middle Eastern conflict and what we're doing over there. And you'd be surprised what we are doing over there. Let's see.
Where's that article from?
This article's from Reason magazine.
Reason,
yep. Let's see here. And while he campaigned against the Iraq war, Obama was slow to wind down our presence in that country, too. Most U.S. troops did not leave the country until 2011. When ISIS first started capturing cities in Iraq, Obama redeployed troops to the country to fight the terror group. It is that temporary withdrawal from Iraq that Graham sees as central to Obama's foreign policy, not the numerous other interventions that the 44th president signed off on. Unsurprising, Graham blames the current chaos in the Middle East on that decision alone, ignoring the destabilizing effects of U.S. intervention in the region, which is true. We take out leaders and it creates a vacuum for more radical people, and a power struggle, a constant power struggle. The continued violence in Afghanistan should show that decades of U.S. military intervention is no recipe for peace or stability, and genuinely libertarian foreign policy would recognize this and would take much greater steps to end American involvement in foreign wars. So Lindsey Graham slamming the libertarian name, plastering it on Obama. He's stupid.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, I don't know. Obama tried pulling back troops. Don't forget it was in an election year.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to make himself look good, too.
Yeah, he pulled them out just to put them right back.
Right.
And up troops. And, like, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. It was a PR stunt, really, to, oh, watch me do this and don't pay attention to what I'm doing over here.
Well, you know, Trump had it right, though. I mean, in all honesty, he wanted NATO to do their fair share of policing, not just leave it to the U.S. I mean, we can't keep sending all our troops over there when no other country who's supposed to do it does it.
I don't think anybody should be out there policing other countries.
Well, they shouldn't. But no. I mean, if you've got a group like NATO, because it's a treaty organization, why should we foot the bill for everything?
Right.
I mean, they're part of that. If they don't want to be part of that organization, get out. They don't have to be part of that, and they don't have to support the rules that they set. Get out of it.
And honestly, who are the real terrorists here? We are. We're not defending our country in another country.
No.
We are destroying countries and slaughtering thousands and thousands of people. We are terrorizing the Middle East. It's such a brainwashed idea to think that we have a terrorism problem for the United States. We've had a few attacks. They've been devastating.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had threats. But I mean, that's because of our involvement over there. That's a direct reaction to what we're doing. And we as a country are brainwashed into thinking that we are not the terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely disgusting.
Yep.
And people can't think for themselves. And that goes back to the first article we read about public schooling and how they teach you what to think and not how to think. And when you can't think critically on your own and you're just taught that we support the troops and everything, and we support the wars that we're in, and we don't question why we're in wars, and that we're doing it to defend our country. And you're taught not to question that or how to question that. Of course, you're just going to go along with it. And we really need to do something about our education system. I wish I could homeschool.
But that's where it starts, is it? In
oh, yeah, school. Definitely.
And if you're not being taught the right things in school, you're going to grow up to be...
Well, it's not about being taught the right things. It's about being taught how to think. How to think, to critically think, how to question what you're being taught. And it's crazy the lack of critical thinking skills people have.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because, I mean, they don't have to think.
No.
They make school so that kids don't have to think today. And, I'll fall back onto what I say, that the statistics show that when high school graduates go to college, they have to take remedial courses in English, math, and writing skills. And those are basic skills. And it used to be you couldn't graduate from high school if you didn't have that understanding. And Now it's not. You get pushed out of school.
No. And, I mean, it's just, I don't know what to do about it. I can't personally, like myself, do any big things. But we need to get people thinking about the public school system more. We need to get parents questioning the school system. We need to get them questioning... we need to get parents involved in teaching. If the school's not going to do it, parents need to do it, right? We need to get more parents interested in teaching their children how to question things. But it's crazy that if you do that and then they go to school and they start questioning things, they're then suspended or disciplined for it. And it's scary. I actually just made Joey watch 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that last week or no? I think we watched it after the show, the episode.
You didn't mention
I made him watch 1984. And by the way, the movie does not cover the book as well as I hoped it would.
No?
No. But Joey has the book, and he's never going to read it just because.
Is it a book on audio?
It is. They do have an audio book. But he got it with the intentions to read it like he does every other book and then just never sits down and reads it. And I've been trying the past 2.5 years to get this guy to read it. You need to read it. How are you libertarian and you haven't read this book? And so I made him watch the movie. We found it on Amazon and we watched it. And sadly, it didn't live up to my expectations.
Well,
it got some of the main points across, but... I remember a lot more detail in the book.
Who made the movie?
I don't know.
Hollywood. You think Hollywood is going to tell a story the way it should be when it's dealing with that sort of topic? I don't think so. I mean, if it's not liberal enough, they're not going to do a good job on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I really hope somebody soon remakes it because that deserves a better film.
You know what? They do that, though, with Stephen King's novels. They can't make a movie on them.
Oh, God,
they don't
no,
do
they,
it justice.
They butcher Stephen King all the time. It's so sad.
And I think that's with any book. They just don't. They take their liberties. They don't follow the book, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. If you guys listening have different opinions on the movie, definitely let me know. But I did not care for it. Yeah. I was upset with it.
Yeah. When was the movie made? Was it
1984?
Oh, was it in 84?
The book was written in the 50s, I think.
All right.
I could be wrong, but I think it was written in the 50s.
Okay.
Book takes place in 1984, obviously.
Right.
And then I think they started making the movie in 83. Oh, all right. And it was released in 84.
Okay.
Or maybe it was done in the 70s. I could be wrong. But I think it was 84.
All right.
It would make sense in my head to put that out in 84.
Me too.
But yeah, it did not do the book any justice. And so if you've watched the movie, please do yourself a favor and read the book. Because
you should.
It didn't get enough.
I think we used to read that in school.
We did read it in school, and I'm surprised. But it was an AP class, mm-hmm. and so the college course credits. So we were had more things that we were allowed to do than like a high school course. I don't know if some schools have it banned, I think. That and some schools have Fahrenheit 451 banned. Banning books in schools is not good either. But yeah, I we also read Animal Farm, which a lot of schools have banned, but that again was another AP class. So I was lucky enough to have some college classes in high school where I was able to read those things. Yeah, so got the war situation going, the serious situation going on. He's getting a lot of backlash for it, which is just ridiculous that people aren't more upset that people are, that they're all bashing Trump for wanting to leave Syria. Can't believe more people aren't upset.
Well, I think that the reason why it's just another thing to bash Trump over, I don't think it's, they can even believe it's good by us getting out, but just because he did it, they're going to bash him.
Well, no, even all of his supporters in Congress and in the White House are upset with him over it.
Right.
He's like completely alone, like saying that we should get out. It's just insane that people aren't upset that they're... So John Stossel, speaking of anti-war, John Stossel interviewed Tulsi Gabbard, who is very, very anti-war. I encourage everybody to go watch the full interview. At the time that I was reading this little piece here from Reason, the full interview was not up yet. There was only like a little clip of it. And so I probably will end up watching that this weekend or something.
Yeah, the full interview.
Yeah. And he made up a good, he said a good point in the little clip. He goes, you know, he's like, we have a lot of differing viewpoints on things because you're a Democrat and you you advocate Medicare for all and everything. But one thing we can agree on is this anti-war situation. And he goes, I just want to thank you for being able to come and have a civilized conversation with someone who doesn't agree with all your other viewpoints and actually talk and discuss these things rather than lashing out and bad talking and just, you know, people can't have, we say this all the time, people can't have conversations without getting upset over having different opinions.
Right.
And the best way to, you know, debate certain topics is to have a civilized conversation. And so it's really nice that he pointed that out and complimented her for coming on and actually like caring about discussing why you agree or disagree
with these things. Well, some of her views, though, go against her party.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he even said that she blames her leaders and the Republican leaders for the stage that we're in right now. I mean, she didn't just blame it on Republicans. And it's true. It's both parties. Whoever's in there, they do the same things.
Yeah, it's... No matter who you vote for, you pretty much get the same person.
And she said she's never smoked marijuana or she's never had alcohol, but that's her choice and everybody should have a choice. So.
And she so she wants to end the drug war as far as marijuana goes. She and she wants to make it legal to use hard drugs, but not for selling them. Like, she doesn't want, she so this is where like she might clash with the libertarian idea of ending the drug war. She wants to not punish people for using things, because who are we to say what you can do to your body? But she does want to punish people who are selling harmful things. She says marijuana is not harmful, but like harder stuff like heroin and everything, she wants to only punish the people selling it, because that is very harmful to people. But she doesn't want to punish people for using it. They shouldn't. She just, it's something that you decide to do to your body.
Right.
But the people that are selling it shouldn't be selling it. That's what she says, which libertarians would argue that, saying, you know, can buy and sell whatever you want. People know that this is not good for them. And so.
One of the things Stasso pointed out was that she knocked Kamala Harris out of the.
She did.
Out of the box, because Kamala Harris now is doing a pro. Criminal justice reformer.
Yeah.
And she put over 1,500 marijuana users in prison. And I mean, when she did that, I guess that knocked people just figured that Harris was a complete double talker.
Yeah. After that debate, she dropped down in numbers.
Yeah. You don't hear anything about it. It's too bad that Gabbard is so low that she can't get into the debates anymore, because she really makes a lot of sense. And I said all along that a far right is, if you go too far right, you could be a little wrong as much as too far left. And she seems to be more of a moderate.
Well, she's Democrat. Very left with a lot of her other ideas. But she does. No, please don't touch that. Okay. She does believe in Medicare for All, free college tuition. She is very far left in a lot of her ideas, but she, in very important ideas and aspects, she is kind of libertarian, like not completely, but leaning. She has some, if you did those circle Venn diagrams, there would be some overlap. And I'd rather see somebody with some far left but a little overlap in there than someone so completely left that doesn't overlap at all. I mean you gotta take what you can when you can get it.
Well, that's it. I mean, and that's what it's about,
and weigh out the pros and cons.
I mean, I you know, the fires in California, ABC was over in Sweden or Denmark at a convention about climate control. And of course, she blames all the hurricanes on, you know, climate change. And it's not true, because they said the number of bad hurricanes have decreased in the last 50 years over what they used to. But she says having children now is going to be a tough decision, because they may not be around to live a good age, because the world's going to end. And she says in a few years, there will be no more Miami. And it's like, this lady just ought to go back and smoke a cigar and have a glass of scotch, because she makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. No. I mean, you know.
No, but so. I think that's all I have for today, really.
Well, we were going to talk, I thought we were going to talk about the Supreme Court, the LGBTQRST, or do you want to wait?
I might hold that off for next show.
Okay.
Just because there's probably more coming out about it.
I was going to say that there may be more
coming
out.
Maybe just wait a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yes, but I think next show we're going to talk about, there's a Supreme Court case going on with LGBTQ in the workplace and what their rights are. Okay. So anyway, I think that's all I really got for today. I do encourage everybody to go watch the John Stossel Tulsi Gabbard interview. I do believe the full thing is up. I could be wrong.
No, it's up.
It's up now. And let me know your opinions on the 1984 movie, if you've seen it, and the differences between the book if you've read it. If you haven't done either, please go do that. And then Scott Horton, look into him if you're interested in learning more about the Middle Eastern conflicts and what we are doing over there, since Syria is a hot topic in the news right now. Just if you're not really informed on what we're doing over there, it's a great place to start is Scott Horton.
Okay.
Yeah, so until next time.